Tonight, we want to continue the message that we started, Help, My Family is Lost. And we want to share with you, again, continuing with these principles that if we will learn and apply in our lives, we'll find that we'll have some success with our families in helping them to come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And so I'm going to ask you to bear with me. We will try to complete this tonight. And for this year, we are going to be kicking off a complete disciples development program here at the church. It's going to include a lot of different areas. There are going to be prayer groups that are set up to pray specifically for family members who don't know the Lord. You're going to be able to submit names, and their focus will be prayer for those individuals. And they'll keep them on the list and continue to pray for them till there comes a time when they accept the Lord. And then they're going to be shifted over to another prayer group that is going to pray for their development in Christ and for their growth in Christ so that they can become strong. There are going to be, as well, discipleship trainers who will come alongside those who have received Christ. And what they'll do is they will host some home Bible studies, that type of thing, with these individuals, keep contact with them, keep sharing the faith and helping them to grow and to develop into the godly men and women, young people that God wants them to be. There's also going to be a group who are going to be trained and equipped to respond to the altar. When someone comes forward to receive the Lord, they're going to be able to walk them through being able to receive Jesus Christ and get them started on the right foot, and then they will be responsible to direct them towards a class for new believers that we are beginning. There'll be a series of lessons on very basic Christian living issues so that these new believers can get an opportunity to really be able to grow and have a great opportunity. It's going to be a program that is very intense. It's going to take the whole year for us to get this, everyone trained, everyone ready to go. And so we're going to be putting up in the next couple of weeks, we'll be putting up some sign-up sheets. If there will be areas where you will feel that you would like to plug in, and then we will begin the equipping process on that. This particular message that we're dealing with is perhaps a message to begin for people to really gain a strong burden for family members who are lost. And by the way, the people that you can submit names of people that you work with that don't know the Lord, unchurched people that way, there'll be several opportunities, perhaps your neighborhood, that type of thing. So keep that in mind as we are beginning this whole process. So again, 2014 is the year of discipleship equipping here in the church. And let's get ready for God to do something great and something miraculous. This morning, in the message, I shared with you the first three things out of this third chapter of 1 Peter. If you would like to open your Bibles there, please feel free to do that. But I shared with you the fact that, first of all, if you want to have an effective witness for your family, number one, live the Christian life in front of them. All right? It's most difficult to live our Christian faith really dedicated in front of our families. They see us at our worst. They should see us at our best all the time. And so keep that in mind. The second thing is don't wear them out with words. In other words, don't keep hammering at them. And we looked at this verse that in chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives." And folks, that principle is vitally important, not just for wives who have husbands who don't know the Lord. It's for parents who have children who don't know the Lord. It's for children who have parents who don't know the Lord. People are watching, and especially those in our families are watching how we live. And so we don't need to wear them out with words and with condescension and that type of thing. The third thing is we need to realize that we cannot save them. Only the Lord saves. And that's a principle we've always got to keep in mind. I have found through the years that there are people who have the gift of evangelism that somehow think that they're saving people. No, they're not. They're sharing the word. God responds as his word is shared and people receive Christ. But it's the Lord who does the saving, not man. So we need to keep that in mind. Number four, and that's where we want to pick up our message tonight. If we want to have an effective witness for our families, we need this. Seek sincerity and avoid hypocrisy. Be sincere and avoid being a hypocrite. All right? In other words, be honest and sincere in every area of your life. Be honest about yourself and with yourself as to who you are. Be honest with your family. Keep them in the loop there, if you will. Be honest about your own faults. And you know what? Ask forgiveness when you failed. Ask forgiveness. And let them know that you are human and that you are in need of God's grace as well. That becomes a very, very important thing. Don't parade your spirituality in religious pride. That doesn't do anything. It didn't work in Jesus' day, and it won't work in today's world. In fact, the Bible tells us that God resists the proud, and he gives grace to the humble. He resists the proud. And so when we even get in that realm of I'm more spiritual than others, that's garbage. You're not more spiritual than others. None of us are. We are on a journey through this life in need of God's grace, in need of God's direction, in need of God's leadership, and it's important that we keep ourselves submissive to God and honest in everything we do. Don't be a hypocrite. Number five, we need to sow seeds without nagging. Sow seeds without nagging. Sowing seeds, folks, is witnessing to what God has done in our lives and letting our families know how very important Jesus Christ is to us. We don't need to nag them. I see that with parents. I see it with family members, people at work and that kind of thing where they're just trying to beat somebody down with the gospel and that kind of thing. And that's ineffective. That doesn't work. And so it's important that we watch that. And unrelenting condemnation of Bible verses does not draw people to Christ. But speaking the truth in love and sowing seeds of kindness and mercy will open their hearts. So we don't need to jam the gospel down people's throats. We simply need to learn a few verses that can help people be able to find Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And then pray for them and ask God to open their hearts to those scriptures so that they can come to know Jesus Christ. Don't nag them. You're going to drive them away. That's ineffective. Number six, we need to pray for them. And I know that sounds simplistic, but it's absolutely true. We need to pray for those who don't know Jesus Christ. This is one of the biggest bombs you can drop on the devil's plans for someone's life. You know, God has a plan for every one of us. He loves us, and He has a plan for us. And I'm going to tell you, Satan has a plan for us too. And his plan is to do anything that he can do to destroy us, to do anything he can do to harm us in any way, or anything that he can do so that we bring shame upon Jesus Christ. And when we bring shame upon Jesus Christ, we damage our family and our friends. We need to pray for them instead to know the goodness and the kindness of God. Pray that their spiritual eyes will be opened and that they'll be able to see how much God really cares for them and how much He really loves them. We need to pray for discerning of what God would have us to do and ways that He would have us show love and show opportunity to those who are lost, and pray for them to really encounter God. That just becomes so important. The Apostle Paul said it this way. He said, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. We need to continually keep our lost families, lost friends, lost acquaintances. We need to keep them before the Lord continually. And God will honor that. And He will speak to their hearts and bring them about. Number seven, let the Holy Spirit set it all up. Let the Holy Spirit set it all up. Being led by the Holy Spirit means that we let Him go first. We're going to be praying for our family. We're going to be praying for open doors, for opportunities. We're going to pray for them to be sensitive, to have something that's going to take place in their lives that will help them to begin a search for God. The Word of God tells us that we will search for Him and find Him when we search with our whole heart. And so what we need to do is we need to be praying for our family and for our friends that they will begin that search for God, and that God will do something to begin that opening up or that softening process so that they will be ultimately receptive to the Word of God and be able to receive Him. You can be a hindrance to what God is doing if you're not sensitive to what the Holy Spirit wants you to do. And we don't want to hinder the Holy Spirit. We want to be able to have Him fully effective in our family and friends' lives. Number eight, we need to avoid religious cliches and avoid speaking Christianese. Folks, simplicity in sharing the gospel is important. You're going to have the opportunity to share the grace of God and the love of God with people who really have no idea what the word redemption means. that really have no idea even what it means to be saved. They really have no idea what these spiritual terms are. And so what you want to do is you want to just speak with them about the possibility of relationship with God. We all understand the concept of relationship. After all, we're related in many cases to those that we're reaching out to try to bring to Christ. So we understand relationship. That's what we want to address. God, as our great Father, desires to adopt us into His family and to be related to us in that fashion. And here's how a person gets adopted. And then you want to share with them very simple things that will help them to be able to see who God sees them as, who they need to be, and how God can bring about that change. As we do that, that will become an effective tool to help them find Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And so we want to communicate to people in very understanding ways and realize that religious jargon is more often than not a turnoff. So let's be cautious in those things. Number 9, love them. Love them. This is probably the number one ingredient that leads to someone's conversion. They need to know that your love is genuine. They need to know that your love is honest. They need to know that your love is uncompromising. They need to know that your love is unquestionable. If you love those who are lost, you will find that God does amazing things. Remember, love never fails. Loving lost people is what Jesus is so very good at. When you look at the encounters that Jesus had with individuals in the Gospels, you find that what motivated most change in most people was the Lord's love for them. His love was honest. And if you want to see God's work in honesty, look at the woman at the well and that encounter in the Gospel of John. Just look at that. Jesus didn't mince words. He looked at the woman and said, "Go and get your husband. Bring him here. I'll explain these things to him." "Well, I have no husband." Jesus said, "You've spoken right. You've had 5. And the one you're with now is not your husband." In other words, she was living with somebody. He didn't try to hide that. He said, "It's wrong. It's wrong." We can love people and be honest with them about the issue of sin. But we need to love them. You know, if you don't care, they'll pick up on that. If you truly love them, you don't want to see them remain in a lost situation. How many here would love to see their family or their friends burn in hell for eternity? I don't think any of us do. We want to see our family and our friends be able to go to heaven, knowing that they're going to be perfect, that they're going to be filled with joy and happiness, knowing that there'll never be sickness, there'll never be pain, there'll never be sorrow, there'll never be suffering. That's what we want for them. In this world, we're going to have pain, suffering, sorrow, rejection. It's going to happen. In heaven, none of that happens. But the only way we get to heaven is we got to have the ticket. And that ticket is Jesus Christ himself. He must be our Savior. Folks, the church can't save them. The world doesn't want to save them. Only God can save them. And the best thing that we can do is introduce them. And so it's important that we love them in that fashion. Number 10, once we have been praying for them and just really asking God to open their hearts and that kind of thing, number 10, we need to be ready to give an answer to any questions they have. But we need to wait till their questions come. All right? Look at this for just a moment. In 1 Peter chapter 3, the 15th verse, it says this, "But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence." The King James Version says, always ready to give a reason for the hope that lies within you. You see, if we're going to be negative, critical, sour-faced Christians, we're not going to be effective in winning people to Jesus Christ. Because nobody wants that. All right? Nobody wants an old sourpuss and wants what that sourpuss has. Instead, people want genuineness, and they want to know what makes a difference in you. It's time, folks, that we get over ourselves and get in submission to Christ and follow him and take on his winsomeness by releasing ourselves to the Spirit of God and letting him have full control of our lives. That then makes us attractive to people who are dissatisfied with life. You know, I've shared with the church before that I was an alcoholic. Never satisfied. The more I drank, the more I needed the drink. Never satisfied. Drug addicts are the same way. The more drugs they take, the more they need. Folks, only Jesus Christ can make us whole and make us complete. Only Jesus Christ can satisfy our longing to be who we were created to be. And so we need to be prepared to give a reason for the hope that lies within us. The hope that lies within us is our relationship with Jesus Christ. And so we want to give a defense of that at any moment to anyone who might ask. Because when we are living a truly godly life, people will ask, "You're different. What's different about you?" And that'll open the door for you to share what Jesus Christ has done for you. So be ready to give an answer, but wait until the question comes. And that will make all of the difference in the world. Number 11, timing is important. This goes along with being led by the Holy Spirit, but knowing when God is dealing with someone is important. You know, there are times when people go through real difficult circumstances in their lives, and it's because God's trying to get their attention. And sometimes the worst thing in the world we can do is intervene. And that's a very, very difficult thing for parents of grown children, because they don't want to see their children going through tough times. And so they're constantly helping them out when God's going, I'm trying to take away their support base so that they'll pay attention, they'll listen, and that when they have no place else to turn, then they'll turn to me. Well, folks, we need to be sensitive to that, because we can literally interfere with what God is trying to do in someone's life by overstepping our bounds. It's out of love? Yes. But we have to determine what is a greater love. Is a greater love letting God do what He needs to do to bring them to a point of submission to Him, or is a greater love just taking care of their needs and having them know, okay, anytime something's wrong, I just go to them and I can get what I want? Doesn't work. And it slows up the process of God being able to get a hold of their hearts. Timing is everything. As I stated, sometimes God allows horrible things in people's lives that He might be able to get their attention. There are several biblical examples of that. One circumstance was the Pharisees brought a leper to Jesus. And they said, now, this guy's got this dreaded disease. Who sinned, him or his parents? Jesus said, neither one, but that the glory of God may be demonstrated, and He healed him. Folks, sometimes God allows things so that people can become healed spiritually, emotionally, relationally. And if we're not going to let them go through the tough times until they're ready to make that commitment to the Lord, we're hindering what God wants to do. So be careful there. The only way you really know that is by being so in touch and so in tune with God and the Holy Spirit that you are sensitive to what He's saying. The last one is this: emphasize Jesus, not the church. Emphasize Jesus, not the church. I'm going to say something that's going to make some of you mad, but I'm going to say it anyhow. The object is not to put people in this church. The object is to put people into heaven, because that's what we're about. Naturally, some people are going to come, all right? And they're going to be here. And they're going to want to grow and become all that God wants them to be. But I want to see us have more of an outreach than just filling these pews. I want to see us involved in God's harvest field, populating heaven, and getting people ready to meet God, because that's more important than anything. You're going to be able to have an influence and an impact on people, first of all, that it's not going to be possible for them to come here. Just for the sake of interest, how many people here have family that live far away? Okay. Most have family that live far away. You want to know something? Chances are you can have an impact on them, bring them into a right relationship with Jesus Christ so that He can save them. That's not going to do any good for this church. All right? But it's going to do good for the kingdom. And we need to be aware that that's what it's about. The object is not to invite people to church, the object is to invite them to Jesus so that they can find life. And then those who need a church who are nearby, we want to have the opportunity to disciple them, to grow them, to help them become all that God wants them to be. Some of your family members are going to be people from other churches. That's fine. You're not going to invite them away from their churches to come here. That's not what this is about. But what you want to do is you want to let their church know, hey, so-and-so received the Lord and is going to need some help and direction. And let their pastor, let their Sunday school, whatever, be able to minister to those people and help them to grow. As churches, we're not in competition. All right? We're not in competition. Folks, if there are other Bible-believing, Bible-teaching churches, we're not in competition with them. We're at work with them to build the kingdom of God. And that's important for us to realize. If they're part of a cult, invite them away from their cult. I don't care. I'd rather have them someplace where they're going to get taught truth than be fed those things that are wrong. Okay, but if they're a part of another Bible-believing church, never invite them away. You know, Jesus talked about this. He said, this is the way that planting, if you will, goes. One sows the seed. Another waters. Yet another reaps. But it's God that gives the increase. Some of you are going to be able to sow the seed, be able to witness, be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people and get that privilege. Some people are going to receive Christ right then. Some people aren't, but you've sowed the seed. Someone else is going to come along and water that. Show the love of Christ. Be able to witness to them further what God has done with them and be able to nurture that seed that's been sown. And yet someone else altogether may come and be able to reap the benefits of what has been shared and actually see the privilege of leading someone to Jesus Christ and introducing them as child and parent. That's incredible, and that's great. But we need to always remember it's God that gives the increase. All glory, all the time, goes to God. When we start to glorify ourselves, we're in trouble. Remember, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Always give glory to God. You're going to invite people to Jesus, not to church. There's a difference there. There's times when we invite people to church. I understand that. All right? I understand that. But that's not the purpose of discipling and sharing. And so in this year, we're going to give people opportunity to plug into this overall program and be able to take a part. But I'm going to tell you up front now, we're looking for faithful people. We don't want those who are going to start well and fizzle out. We want those who are going to have a burden and a passion for whatever role they're going to connect into. They're going to follow through. Remember, it's not the one who starts the race that gets the prize. It's the one who completes the race. There's no glory in starting. There's glory in finishing. Even Jesus talked about that when he said, "And he who endures to the end shall be saved." We're looking for endurance. So please, I'm going to ask you, pray. Pray and ask God to open your heart as to how he would like you to be a part of this overall program. You may end up being a prayer warrior that prays for those who are doing various other elements, discipling, perhaps evangelizing, whatever role those folks are going to be involved in. Perhaps you're going to be a part of a prayer team that's going to be faithful to pray. And folks, there's power when people pray together. And so in being faithful to pray, that doesn't mean that you tell people, yeah, I'm going to spend every morning at 8 o'clock praying for that program. If you're going to do that, that's wonderful. But we need the encouragement and the support of one another by praying together. So if you're going to be on one of those prayer teams, you're going to have to be able to meet together with people to pray, because we draw strength from each other that way. And that's important. Whatever thing you're going to do, you need to be willing to carry it through. And God will bless. Folks, I believe that God wants to bless this church. I believe that with all my heart. I don't think he wants us to struggle. I think he wants us to prosper. I'm not talking financially. I'm talking souls. God wants us to be an effective, powerful part of his kingdom. Pray. Ask God how he wants you to plug in, and then follow through with what he wishes. Is your family lost? This is a starting spot. This is where it begins. But don't be content just with your family. Dan, take an interest in Bill's family. Bill, take an interest in Doc's family. Doc, take an interest in Cindy's family. Cindy, take an interest in John Teresa's. You see, folks, we can't make it just about us. We have to make it about one another. We have to make it about the overall good of the kingdom of God, because that's what it's about. Is your family lost? Obviously, you're going to have a burden for them. If you don't, you ought to have. So you need to be praying for God to break your heart and give you a burden. But as much as you love your family, God loves them more. Never forget that. Would you please stand? We're going to close our service with a word of prayer. I'm going to ask you to be watching for opportunities in the next week or two. We're going to post some various opportunities. And by the beginning of February, I would like to begin some of the training and equipping. So we're going to begin probably with altar counselors, doing that equipping to begin with. And then we're going to move into the areas of discipling and that type of thing. So be prepared. All right? Let's have a closing word of prayer. I want to thank you for being here. And let's ask God to give us a burden and to give us opportunity. Shall we pray? Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your love for us. And Father, for the love that you have for our families and our friends, for everyone that you have created. Jesus, your word tells us in John 3:16 that your Father so loved this world that he gave you his only begotten Son. Because of his love for this world and for everyone who dwells here. And Lord, if we are to be the church that you want us to be, we have to love as well. So help us, direct us, fill us, use us. Father, give us a burden. And Lord, we're going to pray as well that you would give us much fruit. As you have invited us into your labor field, into your harvest, give us much fruit. And we'll thank you and give you praise, for you are worthy in all things. And it's in your glorious and holy name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you for being here. Please give us a moment to get to the back so we can greet you and have a great week in Jesus.